Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 123 of your Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And hey, today's July 5th, 2011. And I would be your host, Greg DeLacy, Gamertag Murphy's Law. Joining us this week, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
Hello, everybody. Happy 5th of July, the day after Independence Day. And welcome to the show. I suppose when you hear this, it'll actually be the 7th of July, so that didn't make any sense. This time travel stuff is confusing. CP Matthew on everything, except Xbox Live, where it's CPM 1376, but you already knew that or you wouldn't be here.
Nicely stated. Also joining us, Mr. Mike Chin.
Gamertag Chin Chinny, PlayStation Network Tag Chinny, 1985.
Speed reader Mike Chin, my bad. Nice to have you with us, Mike.
Nice to have you with me. <laughs> I don't know. Nice to be here, Greg.
And last but not least, Mr. Richard Primrose returning to the pack.
Can I come back in there?
Yeah, come on back
Hey, can I just say, we've not spoken about it yet, but does my voice sound a bit smoother?
No. Yeah, that question.
Well, I've got a little story. I took a leaf out of Ben's book. Remember when we was playing Gears of War and he cobbled together his headset on 360?
Well,
my kids absolutely obliterated my Skype headset. So I've now got one earphone is now secured in place with a big loop of blue tack.
Yes.
And wait, I've also
a big loop of blue tack, like the sticky stuff that you use to stick stuff.
It was fashioned into a large worm and then wrapped around it and then pushed and secured into place.
Okay. A rubber band wouldn't do the trick?
No.
I ain't got any rubber band in my ass. And then also...
Rubber bandist? Like, I ain't got no rubber band. Why would I have one of those in my house?
Are they Irish rubber bands? So anyway, I've sculpted as well a spongy muffler to put over my microphone.
I would like to point out...
Spongy muffler sounds devious.
Yes. Yeah. And it's working quite well. Is that your beard I'm hearing, or is that just you scraping yourself against the floor?
That's his sleeping bag again.
That's me caressing the spongy muffler.
Please, for the sake of like everyone that's listening to this show and the three people, other people on the podcast, don't ever, ever do that again.
Okay.
Ever. Right. Ever. Or you'll be off for another fucking 2 weeks.
And now we have to go to Urban Dictionary and find out what a spongy muffler actually is.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Richard Primrose. Rich, did you even actually do your gamer tag, anything like that?
Yeah.
You just went right into the spongy muffler.
Yeah. I've changed my gamer tag. It's now spongy muffler. Yeah, it's spongy muffler. Oh, I've got a question as well, Xbox related as well. You know, if your Xbox subscription runs out, my gamer tag is called Ugra. I've had numerous emails saying that it's going to run out, but I can still get online gameplay with no problem whatsoever. Shall I just wing that for a while?
Yeah.
Why not?
Will I eventually get cut off?
Yeah.
I'm assuming yes.
Okay.
It's like a zombie attack. Eventually they'll get you. So don't worry, just keep going.
Okay.
Yeah. But it is nice that you're bringing your Xbox support questions right to us.
Yeah.
We're here for you,
this is a kind of like an Xbox support service now, really, than a host of the show.
It's also good that you're announcing to the world that you're stealing from Microsoft, because there's no way they're going to come looking for us on account of that.
No. To be fair, if you do like hack into Sony and hack into Apple, Facebook will give you a job like they did with Hots or whatever his name is.
Yeah. That's one way to get a job. You should look into that.
If you're worried about joining Facebook, no worries, because the person who fucked up the whole of Sony now works for him. So go mad. Put your pictures up on there.
Yeah. I'll winkle my way in.
Well, there is something to be said. You know, I mean, if anybody can break security, then maybe they can actually write some decent security as well. Who knows?
Yeah. There's thousands of burglars in our prison systems, Mr. Matthew, that are thinking the same thing you are. They're thinking, I should get a job instead of being in prison.
Well, and the feds will hire the best of them.
This is true.
We're a gaming podcast.
Yes,
everyone.
We are a gaming podcast. So Anyway, yeah, without that, with all that out of the way, let's talk about what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so what we've been playing, Mr. Matthew, you're on the top of my mind. I don't know why, but I'm going to have you go first.
It's a short list because it's all the same stuff I played last week, with the exception of the Toy Soldiers demo. So with the new Toy Soldiers coming out over the summer of arcade, I thought I'd check out the original to see what it's all about. It was all right.
It was okay. Now,
it's not very good. As tower defense games go, it's not a good one, is it, really?
No, I didn't rate it. I couldn't remember when it first came out.
Yeah, it was kind of clumsy. I can sort of see how they made the leap from there to Trenched, if they did make that leap, or if, I don't know. I mean, the two are very similar. But certainly, I don't know. It looked nice. Sounds were cool. It's a very clever concept. But I just didn't care for it.
Ah, so this doesn't bode well for Toy Soldiers 2 then?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll give it another go and see, maybe if I have some time to get used to how it controls. I mean, there was lots of shooting things. That's always good, right?
That is definitely a good thing. In Toy Soldiers 2, you're going to be able to play as Rambo.
Well, that settles it right there.
Is that true?
My own shot through the kidney. There was in the trailer. There was a Rambo looking character.
Yes,
I'm sure he's not called Rambo for copyright reasons.
Probably,
but yes.
Otherwise, Sly Stallone would bring it up. What?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
He's Brilliant. Coming to your house too.
Question. You'll never do it, Rocky.
Nothing's over, Mick. Just give me something to drink.
All of these references, nothing to do with Rambo.
Everything to do with Rambo. It's all Sylvester Stallone. And then I finished up the L.A. Noire 1,000 achievement points. I've still got to do the DLC. Well, I don't have to, but I plan to.
Chris?
Yes, Mike.
Hardest achievement in L.A. Noire, what would you say?
I still think the hardest achievement in L.A. Noire was finding all the cars. It wasn't hard.
It was a grind.
It's a task. It's a grind.
Well, it's because it's not like you can just go to somewhere on a map and this car will always be there.
Right.
So it took a long time to find all the cars. Although I did read about a clever little trick. So we talked a couple weeks ago about how whatever you're driving, the game tends to spawn a lot of those.
Right.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So there's a clever way to take advantage of that little bit of coding. If you go to the vehicle showroom under extras and highlight a car that you are missing and then immediately load up a free roam, there is a very high probability that one of the cars that you highlighted will drive past you very soon.
Interesting.
And it actually worked. I did it for a few cars after I spent any car that I spent more than 10 minutes looking for, I was like, forget it. And I just went and did the garage thing.
You know, it would have been just so much easier if they just had like a used car dealership somewhere within L.A., but apparently that was missing in L.A. Noire.
Yeah. Katie kept saying, my wife, Katie, she kept saying that. She was watching me look for the car. She's like, well, go to the car dealership. It's like, thanks.
You're helping. You're really helping.
It was the same thing. I was looking for the tow truck. The tow truck was the one that took me the longest to find. She's like, well, go to the gas station. Like, thanks. Thanks.
Yeah. But you'd think if you caused a big wreck, a tow truck would show up.
I tried that, right? I think I said this a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. So I was having trouble finding the ambulance.
Right.
I ran some people over on the sidewalk thinking, well, surely an ambulance would show up. No, it didn't. And you would think that having run someone over on the sidewalk and not gotten an ambulance, that would have made me realize that causing a wreck would not bring a tow truck. But I caused several very bad flaming, fiery wrecks, and
nothing.
No tow trucks.
So the emergency service is pretty shit in that version of LA.
Yeah. In the 40s, the...
Nobody had Medicare.
Yeah.
No wonder Carl Phelps takes so fucking long to look through the evidence. This isn't relevant. But well, no, it isn't, because it's a fucking piece of ketchup.
There's no Gil Grissom for that game. You know, he would have it done in seconds.
Done.
Oh, yeah. Back in the lab. Right, that's me done.
Okay, done. Mike, why don't you go next? You seem to have a great list.
Huge. Nothing. Mortal Kombat is what I've been playing a little bit of Mortal Kombat. I was in a buying mood, I bought Mortal Kombat, and it's a good Mortal Kombat. It's exactly what you want from a Mortal Kombat game. It's fun.
Doing story mode?
I haven't started it yet.
Okay.
I did the train. I've played very little. I did the train, and I've done some of the challenge tower thing. The challenge tower is interesting. It's, you know, it picks a certain character for you, and it gives you a challenge. You know, it's very, very simple, and it says you have to do 5 hits to the head, to the body, to the stomach, to the legs, and then there's another one where there's just like, I suppose it's like a horde mode where it's just like hordes of like the same enemy get you, and you have to be Jax and you have to stomp the ground and all this. So it's interesting. It's cool. It's a cool take on Mortal Kombat. They know what the game is meant to be. You know, it's a very silly, over the top, gruesome, gory fighting game, and that's exactly what it does. And it feels exactly like it did back in the day. And it's not got any DC characters, or it doesn't take itself very seriously in the story or whatever. You know, it's just like let's kick some shit and it's fun. It's good.
Okay, let's kick some shit.
Let's kick some shit.
Tagline. Yep, right in the back of the box.
Let's kick some shit.
You know, Mr. Matthew, I want to actually jump back to you before we move on to everybody else. I'm just going to kind of ask for a barbecue update, because I'm assuming over the weekend there was some grilling that happened.
There was some good grilling that went down. So we went to Texas to visit the in-laws, and the wife has been talking up the barbecuing that I've been doing. So, of course, I got hired to cook for the 4th of July celebration. By hired, I mean told.
You burnt everything, right?
No, I didn't, because I like my in-laws. They're nice people. I made a couple of racks of ribs and some burgers and dogs and good stuff. And I decided that I would introduce my in-laws to the sausage barbecue fatty that I told you about a few weeks ago. Right?
Right.
And I made this is amazing. You should write this down. for the stuffing, right? A mixture of cream cheese and cayenne pepper. And then you lay onto that some fresh jalapeno peppers that you have quartered and gutted. And it was absolutely amazing.
Okay. For those of you actually writing this down, you've got this recorded on a podcast, so you need not write it down.
It is
How do I lay that mixture down on the barbecue? Is it going into the sausage or something?
No. Remember, you weave the bacon plate, right?
Right. Yeah. We was on about this.
The sausage. Yeah, and then you roll it all up. So the cream cheese and jalapeno is inside the bacon and sausage. So yeah, it holds together.
Yeah, man.
It was nice. It was really good. I'm gonna make another one tomorrow for some friends that are coming over for dinner.
Excellent. I'll be over right around what, 6?
Well, it only takes about 48 hours to drive from where you are to where I am, so I'll see you sometime on Thursday.
Okay. Save some leftovers.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Primrose, I do believe it's time we talked about what you have been playing since God knows when you last were on the podcast.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a list. Tried that Shuggy game. The one that I think Duke was talking about on Veteran Gamers. Crap. Not saying any more about that.
the name should have said enough.
Yeah, Shuggy Shite. Yeah, rubbish. I went back and played Monday Night Combat.
Okay.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
So they patched it, yeah. 500 megs worth of download update. I got a few games in with Knife Party, Mark Davis, and it's still, I love that game, it's great. There should be more people on it. Still seems popular on the servers and that. Was playing Blitz mode, you know, the one that's like a horde for a bit, and Also went on, added some crossfire and stuff, which was getting absolutely obliterated on. But yeah, great. Love it. Need to play more of that. So yeah, enjoyed that. Pinball FX, did a bit more on that. Checked out Gallagher DX.
What do you think of that?
Right. My background from when I was younger is arcade. I loved going to the arcade. My little posse of people that we used to knock about, we used to go down when I was about 14-year-old, knock around the town, and people used to say, oh, this machine's gone in on Parliament Street taxi rank. Why didn't you get yourself down there? We used to follow arcade machines like groupies. So, yeah. And my favourite sort of game was always like Salamander, Nemesis, all of the ones that are like side-scrolling, up-down-scrolling shooters. And this...
Wait a minute. Rich, did you like Tempest?
Yeah, I like Tempest, bit of Tempest.
Jesus, yeah. He knows Tempest, yeah.
I was shouting that at the radio when I was listening to the podcast. I was going, you don't fucking know Tempest! Yeah.
Old.
Yeah, old bastard.
I'll be doing the same. I was like, you don't know what Portal is? You fuck.
Yeah. No. This is the sort of game that's normally right up my alley, and I love every single aspect of it, where you've got the satellites that you can power up and get more satellites to cause more damage and stuff. The only thing that I found a bit disappointing with it was your ship was too magnified up, so it didn't seem like you had enough playing space.
Yeah.
You know, because the screen's like absolutely jam-packed with stuff to shoot. That's all well and good. I don't mind that. But make my ship a bit smaller so I've got more room to move around and stuff.
Yeah, to me it almost felt kind of... I'm a huge Galaga fan. Love the old Galaga. And this just... It didn't have that Galaga feel to it. I mean,
Is this the one that got remade by the Pac-Man Championship edition guys?
Yes.
I did not like this. I'm not a Galaga fan at all, but like I didn't like this remake at all either. I was like, whatever. Just seemed very... mediocre to me.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it just did not, I was disappointed, to say the least.
Didn't quite click. Gripolis, remember the ongoing saga of Gripolis?
Yes, this is the one that you were caught cheating, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah. I've left Gripolis in a blaze of glory. I had a nice neighbour who's part of one of the biggest alliances in my ocean, and on a number of occasions I tried to join that alliance, and they declined me, obviously heard of my ways previously, of cheating and stuff. This dude decided to use one of his 25 cities to start attacking me, so basically, because I had five quite strong cities, I thought, fuck it, it's all or nothing. I'm not doing diplomacy. So I just completely sent everything on one of his cities. And, I started getting numerous warnings from the Alliance diplomat guy that, I tell you, these people take it so seriously, you know. Oh, they're well into it. It was like, the representative for Fusion Alliance has warned you. Desist from... hitting such and such, or else I'm going to have you. So anyway, I sent more troops in.
Sent back a reply with a little finger.
Yeah, I did. And you know what else I did to really, really annoy him? And it must have fucked him off. So I had five cities. He goes, how many cities do you want us to take? Do you want us to just take one or all of them? And I says, well, take all of them if you want. So I kept building up my forces and that, and then I ended up sending it out, and I must have done him some serious damage. So they colonized my main city. just at the point where they're about to hit the other four cities, I went on vacation. So you can nominate to go on holiday, and you get 40 days off. So at the minute, they're all kicking the heels, waiting to take over all my cities. So
nice. Yeah.
Nice. So I'm not playing that game anymore. It's crap. Great game. Anyway, so did that. I've been playing probably for about last month or so, on and off, Operation Flashpoint, Red River.
Yes, I've seen your numerous spam messages to me saying I need to play this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a great game. It's a great game. It's a great game. I like it.
Great game or good game?
It's a great... It has got its flaws. It's got its flaws. I'll be honest.
We appreciate you being honest.
I like... I like the tactical feel of it. It's okay. A lot like Rainbow Six Vegas, where you've got a squad, basically, and you can nominate individuals or your whole squad, and you can send them to certain areas. I love the openness of the maps are massive. It's brilliant. You could wander off track and then basically come back down on your target from miles away. It's all set in the beginning bit is like Tajikistan, and it's cool. And the mechanics of the guns and everything, excellent. They tell you that you've got, when you're doing like a scout or a sniper type role,
okay,
you've got to basically work out the dip in the bullet, and you've got traces as well, so you can basically feel the shot out, and then you can see the dip in the bullet. You pick up an enemy's weapon, and because they're not maintained as well, you pick up a Russian sniper rifle, and you'll see that the bullet veers off to the left or the right, and you have to start compensating for that when you're taking long shots. So it's really well thought out. So the mechanics of it are all sound. But then there's silly little things that aren't very well done, where you hit detection sometimes. If you go into a village and you're trying to clean it out by putting a silenced weapon on, okay, you'll be shooting a dude that's like within 10 metres of you, and because there's just a tiny branch of a tree in the way, it won't let that shot get through. So you have to angle your way around, and, you know, just really annoying little bits like that.
Well, those branches are pretty sound. I mean, I think Mr. Matthew could probably, you know, back that up.
Sturdy branches.
Yeah, sturdy branches.
Yeah, so, bullets won't go through branches. It's verified.
Confirmed. Get the fake grenades out. So it's got some really cool toys that you get to add onto your guns. You can customize all your guns. But the really original thing that I've never seen before in a military shooter is that you've got a role-playing aspect to it. A bit like Mass Effect, where when you build up points that you can attribute to different members of your squad, or also yourself. So you could take a point and allocate it to your scout so that he's better at long-range shots and so on. The percentage of his shots goes up. So, yeah, well worth checking out. And I really would like to play that co-op, because it sounds like it'd be... Chris, you like the Rainbow Six Vegas, don't you? Chris is...
Yes. Chris is...
I'm still here. I'm still here. Yes, I do like the Rainbow Six Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, for something like what we used to do on Saturday nights with Fooper and that, it's right up that street. Really enjoyed it.
What's it called again?
I'm coughing. Hold on.
Jesus. Operation Flashpoint Red River.
Oh. Yeah, you know, I didn't play that one because what was the one that...
Dragon Rising.
That one was meant to be just crazy hard.
It was awful. It was like real war, which is not fun, as I'm sure you would know from experience.
It's not. Not really.
And it a friend of mine has played and is playing Red River, Marsh, we all know. Marsh, and he was, you know, in Iraq and stuff, and he didn't like Dragon Rising, and he made me buy it and stuff, and we played it, we realised we didn't like it. But he's absolutely loving Red River. He thinks it's so much better. So he's raving about it as well, Rich. He's another one who thinks it's good.
It is good, and I heard all of the previous criticism on the old one. Whilst you might get clipped and put down within, like, say, two shots, if you get yourself behind cover, you can heal yourself quickly. And then also, as well, one of the criticisms I heard from the first one was you never knew where you was going. Well, this, it does set out clear points and targets where you have to go and take. And then it'll move you on to the next point. So, yeah, it's a really good game. I'd recommend anybody check it out.
All right.
Very good. And then, finally, I had about 350 points left in the old coffers, and I heard a few people talking about Fortress Craft. That's not a game, that's just building. Yeah, well, yeah, you're right, it is, but it is, it's bloody addictive. Now, the key point I took from this, apart from the fact that when I first started the game off and I was building a nice little yellow house with my two kids, and then some white supremacists came along and just started putting swastikas down on. look at the menus, Rich, and carefully choose your options, right, so that nobody can come in and edit your world whilst you're constructing some masterpiece. But, yes, once I got over that, you can see that the social aspect of this thing's quite interesting. I would say that Microsoft have made a very shrewd move at E3, and it did get underplayed a bit, but the fact that they've bought Minecraft, I could see it being a very shrewd investment for them, because one thing that they've always tried to do, you can see they've tried to do it with your Full House Poker and stuff like that, is set up some sort of social environment for people who are grouped up in parties to basically gather. This is an ideal way of doing that. You know, if you've got like if they could build this in as, say, like some central meeting point, like, is it right that PlayStation's
got home? Don't say home. I think we should point out, Rich, Microsoft didn't buy Minecraft. Minecraft is just coming to Xbox. Okay. But, I mean, yeah, it's certainly a social game. I don't know that. Well, I mean, I don't know. You tell us. You were going on about the social aspects of it.
Yeah, here's my thoughts on it. Right. Has anybody ever heard of Second Life? Something that's out, and it's still going now, yeah?
It's not very successful anymore, though.
It's not, but it did start off, and there was a big you know, publicity, and that it was in the Times and the Mail and blah, blah, blah. This is the way forward for social networking and everything. But if you had something like this, and you had somebody like Microsoft behind it, and they've got people like Netflix behind them, what if you're going around building your own world and stuff, and you can invite your party in and so on, and then say you've got Netflix, the other person's got Netflix, and you can bang a telly on the wall, and you could be watching a game of football or whatever.
Well, Rich, I'm going to tell you right now, I think you need to buy yourself a PlayStation 3 and just spend all your time at home, because that's exactly what home is. I mean, you have an apartment.
That's what I'm saying. You haven't got a parallel, have you, on Microsoft? And I think they've always strived to do something like that, and this would be an ideal vehicle to do it.
It's interesting. I think the question comes down to, you know, in terms of the user base, how much do they really want to go venture into somebody else's area and then meet up, or would they just rather be able to meet up? And I think Microsoft bet on the fact that they just want to be able to meet up, as in party chat, and just create a party on the fly, versus Sony went with the whole Second Life aspect, where they created this world where you go and you meet up, and, you know, you have your home that you can show off to people. So I really think it's just kind of two different mindsets, to be frank. I don't know that Microsoft really is ever going to go that route.
Yeah, but the other good thing is, as well, is because there's so many annoying shits on there, just buy this game so that you could build something, and then just leave it open to editing for 5 minutes, and just see how quick it takes for the little shits to come in and start deleting your blocks. It's amazing. They just come in, and the first thing they do is just start obliterating it. I was like, yeah, all right, you wankers. Off you go. Back to the main menu. Yeah, but it's good. It's worth checking out. And the good thing, because I've played Minecraft on the PC, is they simplify everything. You haven't got to do all of the bench and construction of all your materials and so on. You just get everything to start off with. So you can just go in, start playing. I mean, our son now, he's completely kicked Lego Star Wars to the curb because he can play this. But yeah, good.
Okay.
Worth checking out.
Worth now checking out.
I'll shut up though.
That's okay. Good stuff.
What you been playing, Greg? I've not heard what you've been playing before.
Kind of a mixed bag. I dipped into the PS3 this week, not only for the Uncharted 3 demo, but also for Infamous 2. I was playing Infamous 1. It was one of my free games, and to be honest, I just was having a hard time with it. I was not liking the first Infamous. Infamous 2 seems to have made some good improvements. Graphically, it's definitely a nice step up, and the voice acting and just the dialogue seems to be better. And, really? And I think that was kind of part of what the first Infamous I just was getting a little turned off by. I don't know why, but...
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say, like, Infamous 1, I wouldn't consider, like, a AAA title, whereas Infamous 2 is getting there. I don't know if it is, but it's getting there. But when I played Infamous 1, I didn't consider it as, like, this is a big game for them. You know, it's a successful game and a good game from what I played, but it wasn't, like, one of those big... Hard hitters, polished, everything's, you know, top, expensive and all this. So.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's very much kind of the way I felt about Infamous 1. And Infamous 2, they definitely have made some good strides. You know, it's fun. The super, you know, the superhero aspect of it, I'm trying to play through it as a good person. They still have kind of that black and white, you know, choices of you can either do the good thing or the bad thing. And they make it very obvious what, you know, what's going to be the case. And you, you know, have a few seconds to make a choice. And if you don't make a choice, it kind of defaults to, I think the good choice. I think that's based on your character, but if you're an evil character, it might default. Well, no, I would assume it would have to default to kind of the good choice based on kind of the options. I mean, they give you options like you come across some guards and, you know, you can either, you know, attack the police officers or assist them. And, you know, basically by doing nothing, you default into, you go into assist mode type thing. So, anyway. So, after that, a lot of Trenched, a lot of Alien Breed. I played all kinds of, you know, Xbox Live Arcade. Chris, kind of like you, it's been filling up my time lately. Just really enjoying it. Even got in a little Dungeons & Dragons Daggerfall.
You know, although, I played the demo for that one. I didn't like it.
Mm. You know, after my initial enthusiasm for that game, it certainly has waned a little bit, I must say. I'm finding it harder and harder to try and continue on deeper into the game. I think a lot of it has to do with kind of how they've constructed how the missions play out and also the setting. And I thought the setting would open up into different areas, but so far it's just been the same place.
All down in that mine?
Yeah. And it's getting a little tedious.
Yeah. Now, I played the demo and I was kind of like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then I talked to a friend of mine while I was down in Texas. I guess a bunch of guys at his office all bought it because they wanted to play, and they were all like, man, this sucks.
So, yeah.
I guess it turned out to be lucky that I didn't.
Yeah, probably not one of my better choices. Let's say that.
You didn't spend $60 on Two Worlds 2, so.
Or did you? I might have, but I did sell it back. And got about $30 back, so
I
spent $30 on it.
I still have it.
Uncharted 3 demo. Let's move on to something positive. Uncharted 3, you know what? This game, I have some real mixed feelings about the demo.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You really think so, Mike? Or just go to me.
No, I'll be serious. I'm aware that sometimes I can come across as sarcastic. But I'm being serious. I was expecting you to go, more Uncharted, it's going to rule, yeah.
No. It plays a lot slower, and I'm not sure that it's a good thing. I'm not crazy about...
Are you sure? Because when you play Gears of War 3, you said some weird things about that game.
Well, yeah. My guess is when the actual Uncharted game comes out, I will be in love with it all over the place and think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But for now, and again, this also could just be my complete hatred of the DualShock 3 controller. Yeah. And I just, for whatever reason, I can't seem to bring myself to try and buy something similar to the Xbox controller for the PS3. That probably would solve many of my issues. But
yep,
just aiming feels a little bit just slow, and the character movement has been slowed down. They slowed the character movement down because they've added a sprint ability that is one of the things that you can kind of, you know, add on as a perk. So, you know, just gameplay wise. not, it doesn't feel great. But again, it's a beta, so, you know, I don't want to really hold it to the fire too much for that. I mean, the game looks great, and, you know, as much as I sound like I'm down on it, it's improvements on Uncharted 2, and, you know, I think it's going to be great. So, you know, don't think I'm down on Uncharted 3.
Right. So as a podcaster and a gaming enthusiast, have you done your job as a beta tester and fed the information back?
I have complained in certain forums, where they're probably not to the correct Naughty Dog forum. No, I have not. But I
would more fool you.
Yeah, no. See, but I'll say this. One, there are plenty of Sony enthusiasts complaining already about some of the tweaks and changes that they've done for Uncharted. So I'm not really worried that they're somehow missing my feedback specifically.
You can't say that, Greg, because that's what they say on American Idol. If you don't vote, they won't get through.
I hate you, Rich. You know, for me, I'm part of helping the network testing. I'm part of, you know, the
background stuff, the numbers. This is with how many numbers and regional testing, the thing.
But that's really what this is all about. Come on.
Get your jollies in a free game and then move on. That's what you're saying, isn't it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It all helps.
Yeah. It does. I mean, so many ways. Come on. But yeah, Uncharted 3, it'll be good. I will say this, one thing I don't like, a lot of people have been raving about this, they have kind of these cinematic intro sequences for the different multiplayer maps. Airport's the one that comes to mind right now, where you're in a chase sequence where you're either in a truck or in a plane, and it lasts for about 3 minutes, and basically your job is to take control of the plane. Your team, if you take control of the plane, you will spawn in one spot on the next map. And if you don't, you spawn on a different side of the map. Problem is, it doesn't feel like there's any advantage or disadvantage to wherever you spawn. It just feels like this kind of 3 minute gameplay moment, and then they break you into the next map. And so you kind of have that stop and wait, go to the next map.
Can you skip the cutscene?
No, because it's loading. Well, it's forever. Everybody's getting it. I'm not crazy about that part of it. But maybe if they make, you know, the respawning or the spawn point, you know, advantageous, like maybe you're a little bit closer to some of the stationary machine guns or something, then, you know, it's advantageous to take the plane. But, you know, again, this is one of the other funny things I found. It's like you're fighting to get on this plane, right? And the plane's taking off and going up into the air. The next thing you know, everybody's back on the ground inside a hangar. So, yeah. It's a cool idea in concept. I'm not sure it's fleshing out quite the way they were hoping as of yet.
Yeah, you've got to be very clever with that sort of thing as well, because when you do spawn advantageous spawning like that, you can't make it weigh too heavily for the people that got the upper hand. I think I've always thought that Infinity Ward and that do that really well with headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tip the scales towards the losing side if it's starting to become a landslide.
Right. And there's things like they have things like that. Like if one side's winning, the other side will get some perks and some bonuses to try and help kind of tip the scales back. Uncharted 3, it's already shaping up to be a great game. If you have a PlayStation 3, go check it out. The beta is available to everybody. So it was a PlayStation Plus only beta last week. Now it is technically open to everybody, but really it's been open to everybody since it came out because everybody had PlayStation Plus.
I don't know if it's just me getting older or what, but I've never been bothered about having a PlayStation, purely down to money and all of that sort of thing. But in the last few months and that, I thought to myself, I could really do with a PlayStation. And it's after all of this kerfuffle's gone off. But let's have a price drop. I might invest.
Well, you never know. You may get your way. But yeah, so Uncharted 3, definitely one to check out. And then... I don't know. Over the weekend, I was in this mindset of I wanted something fun and silly for myself and my wife to play, and just, you know, basically something fun to have some cocktails to and play.
Oh yeah.
And I got Wipeout in the Zone. So this is a Kinect title. It's based off the Wipeout TV show.
Yep.
You guys are familiar with it?
Yep.
Yeah.
You run in the obstacle course and shit happens to you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The game actually mimics the concept of running the obstacle course and shit happening to you very well.
Okay, Doc.
Almost too well. Because have you ever noticed in Wipeout, when they're running along, you see these people are just like hating life by halfway through the game. They're bent over, they're breathing heavy, blah, blah, blah.
Especially on the final one, they're like, I can't be bothered.
So I tackled the game first before my wife played with me at all. I was playing it single player, one zone after another. By the end of the first beginner level, which was three obstacle courses, I was sweating profusely.
Wow.
After the second run through, I was dying. My wife is looking at me like, you want me to play this? Why? Now, mind you, yeah, okay. So
Is it front on view then? So you're running out of everything and you've got to jump and it's not like a side scrolling thing or anything and you're moving and seeing that. It is as you'd see it if you were actually doing the game, first person perspective.
No, it's more kind of side scrolling third person perspective.
All right, okay.
So you're back a ways from your character. Your character's on screen and you basically jump to start running, or you start running, and it's very much kind of like the Doritos Crash Course game. As you're running through it, you're going to come across certain obstacles that you're either going to have to jump onto, you're going to have to maybe, stop because you get onto a moving, a moving pad, and as you're on the moving pad, there may be like a punch obstacle where you're going to have to duck and lean out of the way of the punching fists. Otherwise, it'll knock you off. And very much like Trials HD, as you're going through the section of the course, every once in a while you're going to get to like save points where you'll cross through a little flag part and the flags go up, and then every time you die or you get pushed off the course, you'll start back at that one point instead of going all the way back to the beginning.
Gotcha.
And so you run the obstacle course, and it's not by any stretch of the means perfect Kinect implementation. Like, in terms of like Kinect, when you play, say, sports, as you're jumping in the hurdles, as long as you're hitting in the green area, you're going to jump properly. I do find some certain laggy pieces to the detection, but for whatever reason, within the Wipeout scope, it's okay. Because it ends up being you getting knocked around and your avatar going flying, and they have ragdoll physics to the avatars getting just obliterated. And I was laughing my ass off, and my wife was laughing at me because she was watching me play it. She was just like, you are getting pummeled. And it was just fun. It was fun. I mean, even though I was, sweating up a storm and getting a thorough workout by running through this course, I, at the end of the day, was just having a blast at it. And
so he's enjoying a Kinect game, right?
Yeah. You know what? But see, this is why I like a lot of these Kinect games. I like doing physical activities. And granted, when I play video games, on a whole, I want to play with a controller.
Yeah.
I want to sit down and play my shooters and do that. But there's times where, and this was a perfect example, where I just was tired of sitting around. And I didn't really want to go out. It was late at night, but getting up and playing this game just hit the perfect chord. And I had a blast doing it, was drinking some cocktails while doing it, and it was just
Did your wife have a go? Did she have a go?
She did have a go. She did,
Is she any good?
As good as me, which isn't saying much.
Okay.
Is she a go? She go? Huh?
Does she like pictures? Yeah, so wipe out in the zone. If you got Kinect and you're looking for a fun, just, throwaway kind of time, that to me, it's a perfect blend.
Sweet.
Man. So anyway, that's it. That's me. Done. I suppose right about now we should jump into the old new releases.
New releases.
All right, new releases this week on the 360. Let's see. This week we've got Deadblock coming out to Xbox Live Arcade. And I believe Deadliest Warrior also is going to be released out to Xbox Live Arcade, but or it may be a re-release. Earth Defense Force, Insect Armageddon.
Come on. All right.
It's got mechs in it, I believe.
Is that out? Yeah.
This week. Huh. And then...
I saw mechs on TV today, and it made me think of Greg. Falling Skies, that new program.
Yeah. You know, the mechs. Funny part, anytime you guys see Max now, I think you're going to think of me, and that makes me smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, something that should make somebody here smile, Mafia 2 Director's Cut.
Yeah. What is this?
I'm going to cheap fish in a barrel here.
Right.
This is Mafia 2, and with all the extra DLC in it, right?
Yeah, that's my take on
Bollocks.
It.
Bollocks.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no insider.
Take this advice, anybody who's thinking about getting money, just get the normal version for cheap.
Yeah.
Because the DLC's not great.
Okay. Xbox Live Arcade deals of the week, because there really are more than one. For anybody who didn't get Torchlight, like myself, hey, it's on sale this week. 33% off, 800 points.
It was $3 on Steam.
$3, $10. Come on. Dante's Inferno Forest Pack on sale. Medal of Honor Hot Zone Pack. And a little Rock Band Red Hot Chili Peppers and TNT Racers. All on sale this week. And a little insider thing here for you guys. If you're part of the Xbox Live Rewards program, right now they've got a promotion. If you buy two games or more at 800 points each, they'll give you back 200 points.
That's pretty good.
So Deadblock and Torchlight, probably in my future. Deadblock, by the way, is like a little zombie cartoon tower defense game, from what I understand. So very much recommend checking it out. On the PS3 this week, we've got Deadblock, of course, on the PSN. Earth Defense Force, Insect Armageddon, PlayStation Move version of Ape Escape, and Resistance Dual Pack. It's the greatest hits. And then there is a massive, again, PSN update to the store this week, basically making up for all kinds of stuff. The list really is just too big to go
through. They'll get there soon enough.
Yeah. Uncharted 3, though, the beta is now open for all. So if for some reason you weren't in the beta yet and didn't activate your PlayStation Plus.
Like me.
Well, you can get into it anyway. Open to all. So check it out. Come on, Mike. Let's play some Uncharted 3.
I will, yeah. I'll download that. Yeah.
And last but not least, on the Wii, Just Jam. That's it. Just Jam.
What's that game?
It's a basketball game.
What, it was like a toast game where you add jam.
You can just feel the tumbleweed going over.
You pretty much can see every developer has just been like, fuck it. We're not doing anything for the Wii anymore. It's done.
Dead.
Yeah.
It is done. So,
kind of a pretty slow week on the new releases, but I'll give it up for Earth Defense Force.
There was
a lot of good praise for the first one. I'm going to have to check out this one.
I think it's like praise, but that kind of like, this shitty game's not that bad. You know, like,
that's praise, come on.
Get it where you can take it.
Yeah, pretty much. Alright, that's the new releases.
Ta-da.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Alright, news this week. So just kind of, I mean, not a lot going on in the industry right now, but some interesting little quick hits. So Phil Spencer, Microsoft head, was saying that Microsoft once was considering Crytek for first-party development. I would say that they kind of still are. I don't know.
They should have.
Yeah, well, the game Rise seems like they're courting Crytek pretty good.
Yep. I mean, they could have gone, like, that could have been, like, the first, you know, first-party project. And I definitely think Microsoft need first-party developers again. At least just a few, just to compete with Sony, at least. And I reckon that they said, oh, come work for us. And they said, no. So they made Rise to keep them happy or something. That kind of went on. Don't you think?
I think that's probably pretty close to how it's all been panning out.
So they're probably close to Microsoft, but they're not in bed with them.
Microsoft just needs to, you know, shell over a few more ducats into their pockets and say, come on.
Crysis 3 exclusive, come on.
Time Splitter 4.
Is that them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So supposedly they're rumored to be working on it.
In DirectX 11.
Yeah.
Whatever. No.
Hey, something kind of interesting that I did not know hadn't already happened. PlayStation Store finally returning to Japan. July 6th.
Oh, yeah. That's not happened.
I thought it came back a while ago for everybody, but apparently Japan still hasn't had it.
No, Japan, they have crazy laws about people's rights and stuff and protection of like internet and, you know, like privacy and all this. And Japan was said, like, yeah, don't put it up until you're absolutely sure, like, you know, it's all sorted and everything. So they wouldn't allow them to put it back up for some reason, like some, you know, law and all this rubbish. But
is that why they always pixelate their junk in dirty movies?
I don't know. I don't know why they do that. But it's such a weird thing.
Weird on many levels that, Rich, you just decided to bring that up right now. I can't say anything other than, here's good news. The Welcome Back program is being extended to July 5th.
So if you're listening to this show, it's too late.
It's too late. It's already done. Something tells me that's actually going to get extended out a little bit further, but supposedly.
So is this the PlayStation 3, the free games that you get?
Right. The Welcome Back program. I would think they would have to keep that going a little bit longer, but hey.
You know, I heard somebody talking about this as well, about, you know, if you sign up for that, you know how you guys have downloaded stuff
right,
for free. Was there any sort of disclaimer that said that if you did downloading these games, you give your right to do any future prosecution against them or whatever?
You know, there was a bunch of terms and agreements that Sony has basically been forcing you to agree to every update that's happened.
Yeah.
Literally every update.
Yeah, you have to agree to something. So it's like you just trying not to read it.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to read that shit.
Yeah, I'll leave that to you when you get your PS3, because I'm telling you right now, you will have plenty to read. I will say one thing about the PlayStation Plus bit that I've been experiencing. I'm not overly crazy about, you know, the PlayStation Plus offerings, whatever. But the downloads, being able to download updates at 2 o'clock in the morning, because you can set that up with PlayStation Plus, that honestly, a huge difference maker for me with my PS3 right now.
Don't you think you shouldn't be paying for that, though?
Exactly.
I must say, I would prefer it to be a product of just the system. But man, it has made a huge difference versus every time I would fire up my PS3 in the past, I always had something to download and update. And now when I turn it on, I just see a message saying, hey, this is what got updated. So,
yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on. Here's something to make everybody smile. Sony's basically set to announce a PSN pass with the Resistance 3 bundle.
I'm not sure what that is.
Well, basically, think EA Play Pass. I think we don't actually know what it is, to be fair. Basically, it appeared there was a website that got some screenshots, or it took some pictures, I should say, of the Resistance 3 bundle pack that's going to be coming out.
Yeah.
And it shows right on the box, PlayStation Pass, not all something like not all options available in all territories. So okay. I have a feeling it's going to be kind of like a Rockstar / EA Pass where it allows you to play online. You have to enter the code in. Kind of their way to get you to play online through their game new.
What game is this for again? Sorry.
Resistance 3.
Alright, yeah. So it will be like, because the Rockstar Pass is quite a good pass, I think, because there's no online play with LA Noir, obviously. So you buy that, and then you get all the deals. So that you're saying, when you buy the Rockstar Pass, you're saying, like, oh, I like this game, I want more stuff when it comes out for whatever.
Right.
But with the online games, like EA Pass and all this, that's like, you have permission to go online.
Yeah.
So it's this a little bit more of a jip.
It's an interesting spin, though. I mean, think about it. PlayStation 3, the PSN has always been all about free play.
Yeah.
This kind of breaks that mold.
Yep.
Now you buy the game used, you're going to have to pay to play.
Yep. That's the way I mean,
it's been happening with EA and those games, but this is a Sony first party game, so it's kind of it's a little surprising to see it coming from Sony. But
I think that the online pass thing is here to stay, pretty much.
It is.
Like, that's not going anywhere. Like, that's,
I would agree.
It's going to happen. And no one likes it, but it's the way it is.
Yeah, and just one other little tidbit piece of news. Ex-Clancy Talents creating a new studio. So some ex-Tom Clancy developers getting in and creating a studio called The Game Bakers.
Huh, funny name.
Yeah, well, hopefully they will create some stuff worthy of the Splinter Cell, and I believe they also worked on some of the Ghost Recon stuff before. So
I reckon if they can make something on kind of like Rainbow Six level, people will be all over that shit.
Hopefully. Okay, well, Rich, being that you're back, I thought it very fitting we cover over some top 10 UK software sales.
We're still not doing any music with this.
No, we are not. You get no music, Rich.
I'll motivate myself then. At number 10, we've got FIFA 11. Already? No. Start again.
No, don't do that.
Yeah, okay. Just go.
10, FIFA 11. 9, Brink.
Flat.
FIFA. 8, Top Spin 4.
Tennis, Wimbledon. All that stuff.
Yeah, Wimbledon, strawberries, cream, lovely. Seven.
Just real quickly, going to go back to this whole Brink thing.
Right.
You know, trying to recapture some of the great energy of Brink. No, it's not a good game, and I don't know why it's at number 9. You guys stop buying
it. And it has a good advertising campaign.
Maybe.
People are like, hey, guns and stuff. We like guns. So, whatever.
All right. Sorry.
What's next on the list?
Yeah, number 6, Transformers, Dark of the Moon. Is that meant to be Dark Side of the Moon?
Mm-hmm.
Dark Side of the Moon. Yeah.
No, it is meant to be Dark of the Moon. That is the title of the film.
Is that really the title?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm not making this up.
Wow.
Okay. Virtua Tennis, more people ka-ching in on the old tennis. Fear Free. Next at number 3, it's L.A. Noir. And you've got number 2, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Lego, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, great game, love it. And then at number 1, it's Zumba Fitness.
Taking over the world. This is like the new Just Dance.
I agree.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. It will be the first thing I buy when I get a Kinect.
Really?
Right. Okay.
That strikes me a little odd, but okay. All right.
And I'll be doing it in a wetsuit.
Nice. Need pictures. Pictures already didn't happen, Rich.
Now, Rich, you should be picking up UFC Trainer. Supposedly, that game actually quite good. Getting lots of good reviews.
Are you pulling my leg or what?
No, I'm being serious. It actually is getting good reviews. It's averaging like 8.5s.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard there's some it's very touchy with the detection. You have to have the camera set up completely right for the sit-up detection.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's more respectable than going in and buying Zumba Fitness.
Yeah.
I'm just looking out for you, Rich. I'm looking out for you.
If I go in the shop and get that, I'll be wearing a leotard.
You know what's really sad is that's the way I pictured you in my head going into the store buying Zumba Fitness in a leotard.
And again, Mike.
Leopard leotard.
Pictures.
Pictures or it didn't happen. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's it for news. Short news week. So what can you do? There's not a lot going on. We can make stuff up.
Yeah. All right. Well, Apple have designed a new iPad.
That's true. It happened. iPad 2.
Okay. Well, the Wii has named their next console the Wii U.
Yeah. Happened.
Another one?
Yeah.
Right. Jesus is back? I don't know. I've got nothing.
Well, you cut your hair, so not anymore.
Yeah, true.
Mm.
I did cut my hair.
You did. Shocking how short it is now. I almost didn't recognize you. Yeah. I think
is this still the podcast?
No, yeah. It's time we take our break. Show break. When we come back, we're going to tackle the community mailbag question of the week and what little responses we had to it. But that's mostly my fault because I forgot to post up the damn question.
Wah, wah.
Back in a bit.
Yeah, what up, y'all? You already know who it is, Mr. G-O-T-Y himself in the building. Yeah, I'm in this motherfucker. Yeah, and I'm coming with a motherfucking vengeance, baby. Yeah. I've been hearing a lot of people talk reckless about my game Uncharted 2. Winning game of the year saying I don't deserve that shit. So I'ma address y'all motherfuckers one time real quick. Let's go, motherfuckers. It's the baddest man on the PlayStation, the real Drake. The ladies love to call me Nathan. All you bots and you fanboys hating, shut your fucking mouth for my balls you'll be tasting. Never has there been a game this amazing with dope storytelling and bliss innovation. Multiplayer with the Twitter integration. I went from Joe Smo to next gen sensation. A ventilation in the industry of fumes. Hit the shit with got a household name to abuse. Drake's a winner, y'all kids need to move. Not even Spike TV could rig me to lose. And now I'm amused, I get honors galore. I can fucking make it rain with Game of the Year awards. The best thing $60 can't afford. And they say my game doesn't have enough gore. I let that 12-gauge pump hit you in the back. Got Elena in the front, another two in the back. And the crew in the tech mode. So y'all been running about as cowardly as Flynn saying.
Incoming.
Enemies think I'm just an artifact thief till they see that I'm really a semi-automatic beast. You see how many bitches I done kill? I'm Kratos with a gun, you motherfuckers know the deal. I got that game of the year, game of the year, game of the year, game of the year, of the year, yeah, yeah. Game of the year, game of the year, game of the year, game of the year, yeah. If they shootin' it, I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all. I'ma kill them all, kill them all off, man. I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, kill them all, kill them all on Christmas. Long track, I done came Uncharted 1, ain't sell, and that was a shame. Now I'm back in the game. I even got them thinking I put crack in my game. Number one,
protagonist.
Call of Duty,
that was shit.
Play that game.
Bring the swords, marshmallows, and the tin.
Left for dead.
Am I your fan?
Batman,
you got the hint.
Couldn't assassinate your boy with an animus. I put all of my contenders and blenders in your IPs doing my next gen 10-year game of the year's been clear. I've been feared since my in-game engine trailer was premiered, the end's near. They say I take it too fucking far, but I'm like Demon Souls, I'm just too fucking hard. A narcissist who sparks a clip if you part your lips. And once I murder all the henchmen, then I target tits and smack them up.
Boy, stop acting up.
Chloe, get your ass over here, bitch, and back it up. Do it till I had enough. Elena, let me wax it up. Break you off with my pool stick, girl, now rack them up.
I party hard with my naughty broad. Take them home and let them play games with my naughty dog. Life of a rock star, happily ever after. This is the life that you live when you fucking got the game of the year, 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 of the year, year, year. Game of the year, game of the year, game of the year, game of the year, year. If they shootin' it, I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, kill them all, all, man. I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, I'ma kill them all, kill them all, kill them all on Christmas.
I remember when they wasn't fucking with me. Back when Uncharted 1 was out, they said it took too many hits to kill people. They didn't want me. But now I'm back in this bitch. Game of the motherfucking year. Nobody can take that away from me. Uncharted motherfuckers. Kill them all. Let's go.
Shake that ass, bitch. Shake that ass, bitch. Get it, get it, get it, get it.
What up, y'all? It feels so fucking good to be me, Nathan motherfucking Drake. Yeah. Shout out to Amy Henning, the rest of Naughty Dog. Shout out to Nolan North for giving me a voice. Thank you very much. Shout out to all the Einstar people for promoting my game. The Truth, King Zick, Treasy 504, Wipeout, Dominator, Timbaland 2K7, Boogie, The Wolf, Kid Hype, Country Boy, D-Mark, Lil QB. Shout out to all y'all. Yeah. I got that game of the year, motherfuckers. I got that game of the year, motherfuckers. Yeah. It feels so fucking good.
All right, we are back from the break, and let's tackle question of the week. So, Mr. Primrose, this is kind of like your area, even though you didn't do the question of the week this week.
I'm back in my area, and it's been invaded with other people's questions. So, yeah, the question of the week for last week was... should we, as an industry, start giving more game directors screen credit on the box cover, i.e. Steven Spielberg or Michael Bay in the movies? So, yeah.
I mean, we know a few of the, like, the big developers, you know, the old, Kojimas, the Cliff...
I love the way you paused on that there. We know a few,
Yeah, that was the distracting cell phone call that I was ignoring. Yeah.
Randy Pitchfork, yeah, he's one, isn't he? Yeah.
But he doesn't actually, you know, Pitchfork doesn't get so much credit on, like, game box covers. Even Blazinski doesn't get credit, you know. I think Kojima is about the only one that I can say that I know for sure, like, has his name kind of on the box cover, and that's just because of Kojima Productions. But, I mean, you never see... You know, Cliff Blazinski's Gears of War. You don't see Randy Pitchford's Brothers in Arms. And I don't know that we need to give these guys individual credit because, you know, it definitely gets brought up by another person, you know, on one of the tweets later on that, you know, there's so many other hands that get involved in this. But, you know, my other side of that is, well, even in the movies, there's a lot of hands, but the directors play kind of a prominent role and they get kind of recognized. Should that be? I don't know.
I think it's nice to have kind of like a head figure. Obviously, there's a lot of people work on it, and you know, you said Greg in the movies and everything. There's a lot of people that work on different things, and they always say, don't they? It's down to the team, man, and you know they mean it usually,
right?
But I think it's good for the industry that we got Cliffy B's and Ken Levine's and. Peter Molyneux. I think it's nice that we have people on these BAFTA award stages now that we recognise, and maybe some of the mainstream people recognise, and they have Cliff Brzezinski on Jimmy Fallon or whatever.
Yeah,
I think
the ones that should have it on the box are the ones that are that passionate about it that they'll go out there and completely say the piece out there. Like one that I'd definitely like to see on the box would be Ken Levine.
Definitely. I don't know about on the box, but like I definitely think like as a figurehead, like on TV shows and stuff.
Well, but I mean, okay, how many TV shows are truly going to be covering these guys outside of like the very niche, you know, game video game TV shows?
Well, you know, like Jimmy Fallon does it. He does it quite a lot.
Right, right.
There are a lot of people that are into like Jonathan Ross. He doesn't have a chat show anymore, but he's a big gamer. You know,
he's soon to have a chat show.
Is he going to have another one, is he?
He's
what, on Channel 4?
No, he's been signed up by ITV.
ITV. Mm-hmm. He's a big gamer, and he's a big nerd and comic book nerd. So I think we're getting there. I think soon, you know, in the next 10, 20 years, we'll have more of these types of people on shows like that. And recognizable.
Mr. Matthew, you've been awfully quiet on this one.
Yeah. I don't... Well, so I think the reason we don't see a lot of it is I don't think that the gaming industry recognizes that its audience – I mean, they do recognize that the audience is getting more mature. And what I mean by that is – so when I pick a movie, one of the first things I look at is who directed the movie.
Right.
If it's from a director that I like, then I'm probably going to go see it. So I think maybe they need to get the director's names out there a little more so we can – maybe that's how we can finally break free of this constant cycle of sequels, as we get some directors out there that people start to recognize. And I don't have to go buy this because it says Call of Duty. I go buy it because it says this guy directed it. I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know.
Now, I guess maybe kind of a spin on that is, you know, maybe if we were reluctant to say the directors because, you know, video games are very much more collaborative in nature – what if we gave more credit to the studios? So it be, you know, it's Gearbox's Brothers in Arms, even though we know it is, and their name is on the cover, but it's usually in kind of small print at the bottom. What if they started doing a little more of that and, you know, really started promoting the actual studio that made it rather than the publisher? So it's, you know, it's rare.
No,
it's
I don't know how much more they could do that, though. Like, if we're having a person's face and a voice and a personality, that's different.
Yeah,
rather
true.
Than just a logo. I think a face, you know, they always talk about like putting a face to a company and making it more, you know, like out there and up front and people know and recognize. It's always better. Like when you read a website and stuff, when you know the faces of them and know the voices of them, like you feel like you know the website better.
Yeah.
You know, like it's I think like the personality like speaks volumes in these kind of things. So I think it's better to get a personal.
There is one thing though that's a key difference between the film industry and the gaming industry. And that is the fact. No. The key thing is that the publishers are the front of house thing that you see first. Whereas if you looked at say Miramax or Warner or whatever, Time Warner, when you went to see a film, you wouldn't give a crap about seeing that before the film started. But when you see a TV advert for Call of Duty, and it's your EA, and it's your Activision, that's the first thing you look at, and that's what you recognise. And like we said before with your Call of Duties and stuff, 80% of the people that are buying that game do not give a crap, and they don't know all about the background of everything. All they'll know is that logo that pops up. Boof, boof, boof. If they've bought Call of Duty before and they see that logo come up for Activision, boof, 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 then they go, "I'm interested in that game." Do you know what I mean?
Right, but is that a?
It's not like it's not like when you go to see a film. If you go to see a film and you see Miramax just come up silently at the beginning of the film, then you know the thing about the director and everything, but people don't follow all the publicity behind it. They're not on the internet all the time checking
out.
Yeah,
but if I'm going to see a film and I see Steven Spielberg's name behind it, I get interested.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that there's already the basis laid down as far as gaming's concerned that all of these things are embedded with the actual games when they're getting advertised, and that's the first thing they look for. So,
so the publishers are getting advertised.
Yeah,
and that's in a nutshell. It's the publishers that get all the pub right now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, you know, so kind of putting it back then, should we as an industry start trying to change that persona and actually bring personalities to the forefront?
It would be nice, but you've got to remember that the people that are already at the forefront, the publishers, are investing a lot of money. And you've got your situation with your Zampala and so on, buggering off to the opposition, then you invest a lot of money in plastering their name over free games, and then all of a sudden they bugger off to another publisher. Then you've lost all of that money.
But I think that is you know, if truly the industry is stuck in that kind of mindset, I think that's an immature, you know, viewpoint of the industry, and that they're going to need to mature about that, because the same holds true for the movie industry. You know, Steven Spielberg, has the pick of studios that he wants to go to because he's been successful, but it doesn't stop a studio from saying, you know what, we want you to make a movie for us.
No, but he's got his own studio now, hasn't he? Every time you see his name pop up, he's got DreamWorks at the front of it.
True. But, you know...
But in the film industry, it helps the movie to have that name on it.
Right.
You can get to a status in the gaming industry where it would help the game shift copies if it had Cliff Brzezinski at the top of it. Right?
Yeah.
The publisher would love to put it on. It's like, oh yeah, put your name on it so everybody knows that you make Gears of War and you're making this now.
Yeah, I mean, Cliff Brzezinski definitely has a, you know, I mean, we know him for Gears of War. If he went, you know, goes off and actually, you know, makes another game outside of Gears of War, I think that game does infinitely better having him as kind of part of the advertising to it, and even being on the box per se, you know, Cliff Brzezinski's, Tales of Doom. There you go, Cliff. That's your new game. I think that helps that game a ton. I was going to say, whereas, you know, without it, that game, you know, even if he is working on it, doesn't necessarily get the credit it should.
I think we're giving the film industry a little bit more credit than it's due, because, like, when you see a trailer, it's always, like, from the makers of this last successful film and this mediocre other film comes this film. So it's not all about the director. Like, even the movie industry doesn't have, like, how many films come out and all of the, like, not many of those directors are household names, you know what I mean? Like, there's not many.
That's true. But they get there.
They get there.
Man.
But when you say whatever.
How do you publicize the people that are going to have the faces on the box? Like I say.
You could say from the makers of Gears of War.
They do that. I mean, that was Bulletstorm. You know, that was Epic Games Bulletstorm. I guess, you know, maybe it is the studio that got kind of the credit and helped promote that game. Mm. Also having the, you know, Gears beta probably helped a little bit too.
A little bit. Yes.
I don't know. I'm for promoting personalities within our industry. I think it will be a good thing. How they do that, maybe there's some better ways.
Who knows?
All right. Well, Rich, we did have some responses.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely not reading the first one out because I wrote it.
Well, I liked your response, so I'll read your response. So you actually responded to the question of the week, and you said, if Molyneux knew his name was going to be plastered on the box, perhaps he'd fulfill more of his promises.
Damn.
Snap.
Oh, snap.
I tell you what, I've only gone in for one of the Fables. I got Fable 2, and I got it second hand. So, poo to you, Mr. Molyneux. But I wouldn't trust this man with anything. He's crap. He doesn't live up to anything. And
Fable 2, it wasn't that great. I
didn't mind playing it, but it was only because I got it cheap. But
it was okay.
It's the spiel that he comes out with beforehand.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, with what he was showing this year, it was like, that's not even enticing me. All of the stuff that you would say, like when he was on about Fable 3 and everything to do with, you know, ruling the kingdom and all that lot, which fell flat on its arse from what I can gather because I never played it. Not bothered. Anyway, next one, OC Podcast. This is another one.
Oh, you know what? I think I left off who it was from, but I think that's from Kevin Purdy, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, okay. So Kevin, he said, they don't have as much creative input as film directors as devs, artists, designers have all of the influence. Yeah, I think as well, what you got to remember is as well, there's a big team ethic as well in a lot of these dev teams. I don't think a lot of the time that they want to take the, you know, they probably wouldn't want to have the faces plastered all over there.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? No?
True.
True. I guess, but like, you know, some of them are going to have, like, Cliff Brzezinski would admit that he likes,
yeah,
he's being down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of credit where credit is due, that was actually Peter Gibbons.
Peter G.
Yeah. He also retweeted also and said also a few already do. Sid Meier. That's true. Sid Meier has his name all over the boxes.
Sid Meier, yeah.
So, yeah.
Will Wright, to a certain extent, has his name kind of out there. Not on the box, but he definitely kind of like, you know, Will writes The Sims and all this and Spore. So.
Yeah. Trying to see if we had any other last-minute tweets. We did get a last-minute email, so I'll go ahead and read that when we're ready for that. And I think we might be at that point where you can shift over to email. So, Rich, hold on. You're going to be reading your next email after I read this email. And that's from Mr. Ian Moore, Spitfire Ian. He said, good evening, guys. Hope you're all well. So question of the week. Personally, I think the director should have their name on the front of the box. If it's a good game, then they can get the recognition they deserve. Also, if the game is bad, then the same applies. Not being that knowledgeable of the industry, do they have directors in the sense of a film? Or is it more like a book author?
It's usually creative director. I think there are authors, but like, usually writers are brought in either too late or too early. There's only BioWare that actually hires writers full time that I know of. But there are Clifford B, Peter Molyneux, they're all creative directors. They don't really program anything, but they kind of steer everything like a film, like a film director.
And you know, oftentimes I think a creative director and producer kind of get interchanged. You know, and to that I would say whoever basically is the one guiding the ship, if you will, for that creativity, they're the person that would be on the box. Anyway, he continues on. He says, I've been playing Fear 3 most of the week, completed the campaign twice in co-op and once so far solo. I would recommend co-op for anyone thinking of playing this for the most enjoyment. It's good solo, but it's quite tough on your own, even on the recruit level. There are two alternate endings, hence the number of playthroughs, and not finished yet, though I'm level 18 at the moment, just need the final run to get me to level 21 and the Chivo score for that.
Ooh.
So, achievement whoring there. Other than that, I picked up UFC Trainer because I need to shed a few pounds. Are you supposed to be totally knackered after just the warm-up? Just had time for one go so far, and it works well with Kinect. One point here, though, with the sports game, you can choose the size of room you have, but with this you cannot. Now, I'm a bit tight for space, and I have to fit myself in the gap between a chair and a sofa. It's fine when you're standing up doing the boxing bit, but when it's time for you to lie down sideways, it gets a bit tricky.
Yes.
I can imagine that would be. What I need is those glasses I heard that slip over the sensor to reduce your room size. Not seen a release date for those yet, but I think they will be a must for me. So he's talking about the Nikko Zoom lens.
That was on A3, right?
Yes, and that's, I believe, being released – it's either July 28th or August 28th, and I apologize, I don't remember which, but it's coming soon. So you
What do they do? What do they do?
So basically, it's like glasses for your Kinect. It's a little slip cover that goes over the front of it, and it basically has zoom lenses on it that help magnify what Kinect sees. So everything kind of comes up a little bit closer. So normally you have to be 6 to 8 feet away from the TV. Now you only need to be 4 to 6 feet away from the TV.
All right.
And it's wide lens, so it allows, you know, for basically, you know, the full spectrum feet to
so just it just makes it work a little bit better, I guess.
It turns your Kinect into Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, it does. Uh-huh. Now, I will say this. If, in fact, those zoom lenses work as good as everybody has said they work, Microsoft just should be patenting that with – or not patenting it, but buying it out from Neko and shipping that out of the box for Kinect. Yeah.
It just, would you buy one if the reviews are good for them?
I plan to, yeah. Even though I've got the room, I wouldn't mind being able to stand a little bit closer. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. Cool.
He goes on. He says, question for you folk. With Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine game on the cards, did you ever play these tabletop games, build and paint characters? There's a question there. He says, and has Skull ever been past the factory in Nottingham? They have a 20-foot-odd high statue of a Space Marine outside. Being Nottingham, mind you, it's behind a steel fence, so stop it from being nicked. So, Skull, first of all, have you seen the 20-foot-high Space Marine?
I have seen it's Games Workshop that do it, yeah. And they're on Lenton Boulevard in Nottingham. And I know a few guys. The guy that I talked to about, he did the artwork for a prototype.
Yeah.
He used to work there. And he started off as an artist there. It's very big. Very big industry in Nottingham, yeah. The old Games Workshop.
Okay.
They've got a cool working environment as well. It's one of the first places, I know you hear about like Amazon and all of the internet places where you go in and there's really a relaxed environment where you can like chill out and stuff.
Right.
And everybody will get to Friday and they'll drink a few beers and that after work. It's terrible wages, apparently. But it's a really good working environment, so yeah.
Trade-offs.
Yeah, I suppose.
No, there's some people that work there. Yeah.
Okay.
It's really good.
Back to the question at hand. Have you guys ever played Space Marine 40,000K?
No.
Chris?
No.
And Rich, I'm assuming that's a no?
I've never played it, no. But I did do a few characters and painted them when I was at school and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, now that's the funny thing is I never played it either, but back when I used to model when I was a kid, I used to paint up, you know, models and figurines and create scenes, all kinds of crap. And then I blow it all up with firecrackers usually, but still.
I can't remember, there was one board game that Games Workshop used to do, and my mate had it. And we used to play that thing till stupid o'clock in the morning. And then we started going to pubs and didn't bother.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Once you start drinking,
in fact, it wasn't even that as well. It was like the end of school, you know, when you used to start buying bottles of Thunderbird and hanging around up the shops.
On the park.
We found that more interesting. And,
Rich, you were a hooligan, weren't you?
No.
That's standard, really. That's standard for most kids.
Yeah.
About school, you start the late years of secondary school, you know, you start going to the bar.
Now, Thunderbird, I mean, you're talking the liquor.
Yeah.
All right.
Red one, white one.
Yeah. See, this is, again, difference between the UK and the US. We're not buying Thunderbird till we're 21. Legally, at least. All right, Rich, you've got next email. Let's go. Thanks, Ian, by the way. Spitfire Ian says, thanks for... that's all from me, folks. Hope you have a good show. So great email. Thank you for that.
Yeah, nice one, Ian. He's going to get a good shout out at the end as well because he blew my mind on the website. Anyway.
Just your mind.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a bit. Email. Eric Piotrowski, who's probably still enjoying his break. I love it as well, you know, because you get to know all these people at a podcast and stuff. You get... It's like Duke's Gaff to everybody, obviously.
Right.
He gets all stressed out just running up through spring and all of that lot. And then, because obviously he's marking papers and everything. And then on the podcast, he's getting more and more wound up. And then you get like this sudden release when he knows he's on holiday for ages. He's played loads of games. So anyway, as I can tell by this email, he's got lots of time on his hands. So I'll start it off. Hey, OC peeps, I started this email during the VG podcast while Chinny and Stu were yakking away about something boring, but then the conversation got interesting again and I put it aside and forgot about it. And here I am on Tuesday morning finishing it up. Hannibal Buress is the best new comedian right now. He's the next Mitch Hedberg. No lie. Apparently, his album, My Name is Hannibal, isn't available in the UK on Amazon, but everyone in the US should go out and buy it right now. Pure awesome. Hey, if any of you guys have a Mac, you're like, dude, these Steam games are cheap and kind of old. I bet you could run them on Windows XP on my Mac. Do not do that. You'll spend days and days trying to get all the drivers and stuff sorted out, and it still won't work.
It's good advice. You'll feel pathetic
and sad, and then your Wikipedia article will fail to get featured and will make you more sad. And then you'll spend all morning looking at silly videos on YouTube. You've got a lot of time on your hands, Ian Duke. You don't worry about it, mate. They have Transformers doing a thriller dance. Oh, very nice. Also, Fear Free isn't excellent as it should be. I mean, it's okay, but the cover system is sticky and weak, and the story is really meh. I wound up liking Dragon Age okay, but the final fights, is that Dragon Age 2? Because I know he's been playing that.
Yeah. Dragon Age 2, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the final fights were really dumb. I think I liked the fact that we had the several main storylines along the way, Deep Roads, Expedition, Feud Between the Mages and Templars, instead of one constant story like Dragon Age, Darkspawn. It's just too bad those main storylines were so weak. I don't see a question of the week, so I'll ask you a question instead. What's the deal with all the stuff people are doing nowadays? I saw this thing on the internet about this woman who said these things, and I was, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody Twittering and Facebooking about it. What's that about, eh?
I have nothing to say to that, Eric. Nothing to say to that.
Anybody, any ideas?
No idea what he's talking about.
I'm guessing he didn't have really a question for us, so he just kind of pretended that he had one.
Okay. I would like to close by saying, have a good show, but I know that my saying that probably won't have an impact on how the show goes. It's not like if no one says that, you'll go, what a crappy show. I wish someone had told us to have a good show, like you just forgot or something. Water rules. Hurrah, Duke.
Well, in fact, Duke, we were having a crappy show up until you said that.
Yeah, gone up now.
Yeah, now it is actually still crappy. Speaking of crappy,
just gone worse.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you.
I'm muted. I pressed the bloody button.
No, you did not. Let me go back to the ring.
Yes. For the rest of the internet, they're like, no, you didn't, Rich. No. You didn't, Rich. Mute. There you go. See, it's affecting us all.
Because the whole of the internet listens to this show.
Yes.
Everybody.
Lord. All right, next email. Chris, be on with it.
All right, I'll be on with it. Mark Wright, Mark Hennix says, good evening, chaps. First of all, I have a bone to pick with Greg, so you're in trouble, Greg.
Ah, shit.
I've just caught up on the last two podcasts, and in show 121, Greg said he tried to get hold of several people, including me, to fill in for CP and Skull. I have to say, I received no Twitter, no email, no forum messages, no carrier pigeons with a request to help out. So to set the record straight, I would have been available, but it would appear someone was too lazy to ask, but made it out no one could be arsed to help out. Huh, Greg? Lol. So, okay.
In the interest of podcast.
Now, you've been publicly chastised, Gregory. You're just going to have to deal with it.
I did look for Mark Hennix. But I did not tweet Mark Hennix. I didn't admit to that. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, you are. All right. So, now that I have that off my chest, the annual Gaming for the Elderly Gamerscore Challenge ended at the weekend. Congratulations to Artful Codger for winning by a mere 475 points. Thanks to his last-minute purchase. Yes, purchase of, wait for it, My Horse and Me Too. Shame on you.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Yes, I will name and shame laughing out loud. He got an amazing 20,825 increase. I came in second with an increase of 20,375, which is a personal best. And David the Alien was third with a fantastic 15,671. I hope, David, that you didn't play Summer Athletics for that one. A lot of people beat their personal goals, and collectively the 27 participants earned an incredible 119,104 points over the eight-week period. A massive thank you to everyone who took part, and especially to David the Alien and Spitfire Ian for donating prizes. Oh, and Mike, what happened? I had money on you winning this, so you've crossed Mark money. Shoot. Now that's over. I'm looking forward to playing some proper decent games. I've held off single player of Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and can't wait to get stuck into this along with Mass Effect 1 and 2, which I've just picked up really cheaply. If I may, I would just like to shout out Andy93285, who has set up some Dirt 3 Time Trial challenges. These are very fun and competitive and loads of fun. Well done to David the Alien for winning the first one. Until next time, catch you later, Mark.
Well, you know, done. That, thank you for writing. You know the Game of Store challenge? I thought of a wicked idea. You know, Greg did the Ode Extra Life last year?
Right.
And everybody's meant to sponsor you and all that lot. Because it seems to be so popular doing, like, the Game of Score challenge. What if, as a community, we set up, like, a target? You know how you have your barometer for how much Game of Score you can earn in a certain amount of time running up to Extra Life? And then just do that based on points and stuff. Just to set a target and then do that.
Interesting.
People sponsor you. That'd be good.
Yeah, no, that could be very good. I was actually thinking, I think it would be really difficult to do this way, just because so many people play so many different games. But one of the things I always thought would be kind of cool about the GamerScore Challenge is if you could set, you know, a certain list of games that everybody was going to play.
Hmm.
Like you had a pool of games to jump into and play to increase your GamerScore.
It's funny you should mention that, Greg.
Yes.
Hold that thought.
I'm holding this thought.
Yeah. More on that later.
Okay. I will hold that thought then. I will not speak out loud about it anymore. We're going to just move on.
Damn you, Greg.
Damn it. Hey, Rich, there's a show question for next week.
Yes. We've got one for next week. And, yeah, it might relate to what might be coming up. And we might
never
be guessing again about what might be coming up. Yeah, this one is... during the gaming dry months, which we are currently in, vow to finish one game. So what is the game that you would try to finish before the drought ends, and why has it taken so long for you to do so?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I
Think about... Okay.
So, I mean...
Everybody's got a pile of shame. I'm expecting responses for this.
Now, pile of shame. So now here's a question, just for clarification. Is it finishing the story mode, or is it like finishing to completion of 1,000 gamer score? Because that list is massive for me.
No, I think it's just like what you consider to be finished.
Yeah, so, okay.
Greg, when you play a game, you finish the story mode, you consider that to be finished. When Chris maybe plays a game, he usually a thousands the gamer score if he can. So you consider to be finished with.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been Uncharted 2 for me had I not just finished it, but that was clearly my pile of shame game that I hadn't finished for quite some time. But yeah, next week.
You had five minutes left in it, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. But no, we'll discuss that next week. Good question. All right, Mr. Matthew.
Mr. DeLacy.
Community play dates and all that good stuff.
Oh, all that good stuff. Well, we have the usual ongoing Friday night races. Apparently nothing going on Saturday in terms of the F1 championships and other things. So take a look at the forums for more information. Let's see. Sunday, the 10th of July, with the Play Vault, 1 p.m. UK time, Left 4 Dead 2. So if you want to get your zombie fix on, come on out and do that. Veteran Gamers, got anything going on Sunday, Mike?
Yes, on Sunday we'll be playing the Uncharted 3 beta, so you have no excuse.
Nice.
Everybody have it.
Are we going to be actually talking to one another?
Well, we'll see about that. We'll, you know what the PlayStation.
What we'll do is we'll all get in an Xbox Live party, and then we'll get on our PlayStations exactly. and do the.
There you go.
That's how we work Dead Nation.
Yeah, good fun. Good fun,
man.
Birthdays this week: Dalkin Monster, Berserk 187, AM Woody, which is really funny. Sports Junkie and Ranma 711. Happy birthday. Welcome to the new members, Elizabeth 001, Magic DGMN, and Rag Dolly. And so I have an announcement on continuing your thought, Greg, about choosing a particular game. We've been sort of discussing and still working out the details, but this is just sort of a teaser announcement for a lot of the big releases in the fall. After you've finished your pile of shame, we're going to run some what we'll call micro gamer score challenges. And essentially we're going to pick some of the big releases, such as Forza 4, Battlefield 3, Modern Warfare 3, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to have a race to 1,000. So the first person participating in the contest to get to 1,000, will win, something. It'll be a small prize, probably some Microsoft points or DLC code or something along those lines.
I like it.
Still working out the details as to how we're going to handle different release dates, because sometimes the UK get things first and sometimes the US get things first. Sometimes people that shop with Shop2 get things a couple of days early.
Right.
So we'll work something out with that. So more details to follow on the forum. That's just your teaser announcement.
I'll put one forward as well, because I did one for Mike. I'll put forward a personalized poster for whoever wins one for one of these challenges.
Nice.
Yeah.
Personalized poster.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I like it.
A gaming poster.
I love my poster.
Well, you're taking some of the fun out of it, Rich. Now it has to be a gaming poster, but okay. Still, it sounds
Sounds awesome. Yeah. And that's that.
Cool. I love the micro gaming score challenge. I think that's a great idea. I think it will kind of force people not to play the My Little Pony games and have to play a real game. Man up. I might even participate, damn it. And that Man should tell up. You a lot.
Yeah.
All right, so let's wrap this show up. So iTunes reviews, certainly if you are so inclined, send us a review. The higher or more reviews we get, the higher up we show up, and of course, the more people that get to listen to the podcast. Emailing the show, Mr. Chen.
Yo.
What's the podcast email?
The podcast email, Greg, is ocpodcast@gmail.com. That's it.
Easy. And Rich, if they're going to tweet us.
@OC_podcast.
See, I love hearing that. I love seeing that you are still in the game. Your time away. You're sharp as a tack. That's pretty much it. Let's just shout outs. Chris.
You know, I'm just going to shout out Marcanics for organizing the Gamer Score competition, and David and Ian for donating prizes. Well done, and congratulations to all who participated. And for the rest of you, answer the question of the week, because. The pile of shame is always fun to dig through. That's me.
That's true. Yep.
Okay. Mike.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Pass it along. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
I will shout out Bongo the Sane, because Bongo has been very nice enough to donate 3,000 Microsoft points. Count them. 3,000.
Cha-ching!
And we're going to do some competitions on the Veteran Gamers for the next 3 months, so each month we'll give away 1,000 in a different way, I reckon, and it's up to me to kind of figure out how. So we don't know how yet, but just keep listening to the podcast and going onto the Veteran Gamers site and we'll find out. So you could win some Microsoft points, thanks to Bongo. So
points are going to come in handy with Summer Arcade coming up.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Excellent. Okay.
Very good. That's me, and Rich, you go.
Yeah. I want to shout out Spitfire Ian. On the forums last week, he posted up a YouTube video for Suicide Blitz 2 mod for Left 4 Dead 2. Has anybody seen it?
No.
Right,
no.
Okay. this is probably the best, one of the best mods I've seen in the game. So there's two people basically playing through Left 4 Dead 2. You know how you get the gnomes?
Right.
They pick a gnome up and they're in a dark room and basically they have to place it somewhere. So anyway, the room goes completely dark and then a couple of neon lights come on and then a portal opens. And then from Left 4 Dead 2, you walk through the portal and you're in Aperture Science.
Wow.
And it's awesome, man.
That
it's got
cool.
It's got GLaDOS in it. It's got the cake. And it's got zombies in it. So what more can you say? Check it out, man. It's on the website. It's on the G4TE. Yeah, go and have a look. Suicide Blitz 2 mod. Check it out.
Crazy.
Also, shout out to Joypad, Joypod podcast. Talking to Mike about this earlier. Couple of guys, English fellas, do a great podcast every week. Very funny. Got a great, cause they've obviously known each other for a long time. Great sense of humour and everything. And they were at school with Neil, one of the guys out the in-betweeners, and the other week they had me in stitches because they basically got him on and he stayed on through the whole show and they just talked games and it was really, really funny. So, yeah,
okay.
Good podcast. Check it out. And also another shout out to another guy in podcasting who's kept me entertained for a long time, Alex Shaw. Done some great production stuff for the Digital Cowboys in the past, and they're taking a bit of a hiatus and a break, and but I just like to say, if you thinking about getting back into it, mate, I'm still going to say subscribe because you've got one of the best podcasts out there, mate. So yeah, nice one. That's it. So Greg,
okay. I'm going to shout out a podcast as well. I mean, we're going to just give all kinds of props to other podcasts right now. But Gamers Riot came across this podcast and had a great debate on the last podcast. They're talking about graphics and processors. And you know what? It was a little bit of a nerd out, but honestly, it was just I love hearing a
nerd out.
Yeah.
What was the name of that podcast again?
Gamers Riot.
Gamers Riot. Yeah.
Good show.
Cool.
And, of course, I want to, you know, give a shout-out to you, the UK.
All right.
You didn't think I wasn't going to do this. Come on. I want to say thank you guys for leaving. Of course, you were kind of kicked out, but, you know, it makes for a great holiday.
You're welcome.
I love the July 4th.
You're welcome, Greg.
We had better things to do.
Yeah. It's like, you can keep that massive.
Yeah, it's really not worth it. Let's go. Yeah. Anyway, I've got a Scholastic quote for this week.
Sweet.
Yeah. It says, basically goes like this. 5 out of 4 people have trouble with fractions.
Lol. That's pretty good.
Yep. There you go.
All right, we're done?
Right. Yeah, we are done. Good job, Mike.
Sweet.
Let's go.
Good job. Job, my fool.
Bye-bye.
You should keep that in, Greg.
I should.
Bye-bye.
So how do we do this groups thing that you were talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Twitter.
Group thing. I'm not into swinging.
Yes, yeah. Shut your
mouth. Oh, you're not? Well,
no.
Well, this is awkward.
I decided to sweatbox it instead.
Oh, I decided to sweatbox it instead.
Yeah, by the end of this podcast, I will probably have lost 5 pounds.
At the end of this podcast, though, Eric.
It's 5 pounds.
I think I hate all of you.
I think I hate all of you. I went jogging in Texas. That's pocket law.
I had a bloke talking to me about that the other week to do with colour management. It's basically a bicycle. You've got to keep it in the middle of the road. And it's going to veer off to the left. And it's going to veer off to the right. But your job is to keep it in the middle of the road.
I could be your manager.
You could be a colour advisor. Does that mean there's a load of Irish navvies that have been pissed off for decades because they can't put trench on the side of the white transit van?
Yes.
Ah, right, okay.
I'm certain that that's what that means, even though I have no idea.
See,
what
I know.
No. No, don't know what he said.
Can I come and do your drive for you, sir?
You're scaring me now. You're scaring the children, Rich.
You're scaring everybody.
He says a little about Irish people, but I wasn't sure what he meant.
No.
What's a navvy?
I think it was mildly racist.
Do you not know what an Irish navvy is?
I don't.
Nope.
No.
Is it the same thing as an Irish traveller?
No. It's somebody that works on the roads and stuff.
Oh.
Just a lot of work, labouring and things like that.
Are they all Irish?
Well, you get a lot of them, yeah.
Are they only Irish?
No. I would say if you went to any sort of motorway construction site, that you would find a high proportion of Irish people working there.
See,
I've drank in pubs with numerous of them. And,
that sounds
yeah.
Blatantly racist to me, Primrose. I'm just going to say.
That's not racist. That's not racist. Only if you're PC.
It sounds racist to me.
Typically out here, I mean, I don't know what it's like out in New York, but I mean, if you see people working on the side of the road, typically they are prisoners doing trash duty.
No. Well, in that case, you're drawing the wrong parallel, because I would not say that all Irish people are criminals.
Most of them. Then,
yeah. Or he could come in right after you. They'd be like, oh, yeah, what's that other guy selling? Yeah, let's go with him.
I've got a great idea. It's called Smurf herding.
What we do, we find some Smurfs. Pretty difficult to find, apparently, but we'll get to that. And then we'll herd them.
Speaking of Smurf herding, the Smurfs movie's coming out.
Yeah,
don't remind me.
You don't like Smurf herding? How about pubic beards? We've got a lovely range of pubic beards.
I think that you should not be allowed to speak in public anymore.
No, I think we got to have you lay off the honey beer.
You're scaring the children.
Yeah, well, we'll just do it. Here we go.
How's that working for you, Greg? Aren't you starting a bit of a podcast?
It's good to have you back, Rich.
I don't spill.
No. Nor do you type quietly, Chris.
Nope.
To given facts for you.
No one wants that.
Sodomite also known as post-mortem bestiality. Nice. All right, let's.
I also spelled that wrong.
It's okay. We'll let it slide.
Well, if you get clipped by one bullet, yeah. Oh, can you stop the recording? I've got a cough again.
What ass hurts?
Whoa!
You recorded that because of the boy cried, not because of homosexual sex.
Oh. You realize that now it's going to turn into.
The homosexual sex is tomorrow. Today was the boy cry.
Whoa, easy.
Don't like the wizard.
Fuck the slings and arrows. Let's get some lasers on the go.
Lasers and Tesla coils and all that shit.
Yeah, man.
Yes, Tesla coils.
That wasn't very effective in the factory, if I remember.
No.
Well, it is a lady's contraceptive, isn't it?
Oh, easy. Hey, who wants to play some Trenched? What do you say?
Fuck off.
Oh, that was good. That was good. So I take it you're not in then, Mike.
That's a definite out from me.
Podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net, and on there you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real sound are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.